Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with Frank Vandenhorst and Peter M. Fellows. And in this week's segment of Our Journey, each of us has looked back into our past, although maybe not so far back, to share with you something about our personal journey. Peter, what have you got for us today?
Thank you, Rick. It's great to be back here with you and Frank at the Road Ahead Cafe. It's like a therapy session for me, but without the hourly fee. So I really do appreciate the time I'm with you guys. It's great to be with you. It's great to be with our audience, newcomers and loyal listeners, watchers alike. Don't forget, if you love us, subscribe and send us a quick selfie video telling us why, because we have no idea what we're doing right. So today I thought I'd share with you my discovery of an astonishing phenomenon. You know, one thing we all have in common is that during our days, we find ourselves wondering how to best handle the many challenges we face in our life. And since I was a teenager, I thought, wouldn't it be great if whenever I didn't know what to do, I could just summon up some wise person and ask them. And there's so many spiritual, psychic, self-help sources that teach you how to contact your own wise person, whether they call this source your inner guide, your higher self, your oversoul, an ascended master, your subconscious, whatever. But if you're like me, you probably found that none of the techniques or exercises take you deep enough so that you really don't feel like you're, well, just pretending you're having a conversation. I'd meditate, count myself down, I'd use hypnosis and so on, but I couldn't tell the difference between my own thoughts and any I imagined were supposedly coming from my wise source. I was looking for a way to have my wise being appear before me in full Technicolor 3D or speaking to me in stereophonic sound. And then one day in 1977, I spontaneously found myself in another reality. Today, I'll share with you my first experience with the magical state we now know as lucid dreaming. So back to you, Rick.
What a great year, too, 1977. Frank, what do you got for us today?
Well, my dear friends, on November 5th, I went to a wedding of very dear friends. The wedding was postponed three times due to COVID. So this was their third trial, and it had to be successful. So this is where their D-Day. The wedding ceremony was beautiful, and the bride and the groom just looked gorgeous and very happy.
Very nice.
Only the aftermath turned out to be completely different. I'll tell you more about it because, well, it hit me really in a positive way. Stay tuned.
Bombs drop in here. So sometimes life's pieces get out of control. Coping can be difficult. One new tool I discovered helped me focus on what's really important in my life. And I'm going to share with you right after Peter and Frank. Peter, let's go a little bit deeper. What do you got?
Okay, thanks, Rick. Okay, so I'd done a lot of exploring with altered states and meditation, trying to get deep enough to make a convincingly realistic contact with an inner source of guidance, but I'd failed. And then one summer's morning, just like any other ordinary morning, I woke up to the sun shining through my apartment's bedroom window, and glancing at my watch on the bedside table, I figured I was good for another hour or so. So I turned on my side, went back to sleep. And in an ordinary dream, I was back in my childhood bedroom in the suburbs of Ottawa, Canada, and the room was dark like it is just before dawn, when everything is quiet and gray, and my younger brother Christopher was just sitting there on his bed, looking right at me, very silent, very still, and his eyes were strange in a funny sort of way, and we looked at each other, and out of nowhere, the thought came to me, I'm dreaming. I'm dreaming. Christopher froze as if suspended in time. Everything came to a halt. It was as if I had stopped the world. Objects had an incredible crystal sharp brilliance and clarity. My heart raced with excitement. Beyond belief, I was somehow awake and yet still dreaming. How is this possible? But before I could consider this, the dreamscape began to just melt away. Everything seemed to be losing resolution, and I was falling back into the waking world. I had to stay here in the dreamscape. Instinctively, I reached out through the thickening haze and grabbed one of Christopher's skinny legs, as if by doing so, I might anchor myself in this other world. There was a moment when I thought I had awoken, but then the hazy gray cleared and I was fully back in the bedroom with Christopher, back in the dream, yet somehow awake. I had to remind myself that what I was experiencing was purely mental event, the result of neural firings within my brain, because my body felt that this was completely real. Each of my physical senses was stimulated fully and cried out that I was actually fully physically in the most real sense back in our old bedroom in my childhood house. And my mind raced with the possibilities that were now open to me because I was free, free to do anything I chose to do because I was the creator of the dream world. Everything I saw about me sprung from within me. So I jumped out of bed, filled with a sense of urgency, because who knew how long I would remain in this marvelous state before I really wake up. I decided I wanted to go flying. So I climbed up onto the window ledge and I perched there looking out into the blue sky. And then I hesitated because in order to fly, I would have to jump out the window. And what if I wasn't really dreaming? Everything felt so real because I could feel my body balancing on the window ledge. Then without further thought, I threw myself out the window, began to rise up, up high above the trees and houses, the wind blowing in the hair that I had at the time. And I exulted in a glorious feeling of freedom and power. I was flying. It was a beautifully bright autumn morning. The air was clear and crisp. The trees were resplendent in reds and oranges and yellows. And the mundane appearance of middle-class suburbia was now imbued with a vivid beauty, a sense of utter perfection. Everything was so precise in detail. I felt I could go anywhere I chose. So I decided to go visit my girlfriend. Facing the direction in which I thought her family's house led, I focused on going there. And to my utter surprise, I felt a tug backwards, found myself hurtling backwards, all the visuals blurred. I slammed my back onto the dream bed, and then I did awaken. The summer sun had climbed a little higher in the sky. My apartment bedroom still looked the same, but now I was convinced my world had changed. It had become larger, more mysterious, more filled with wonder and endless potential. I figured every night now I could just summon up an inner dream character, and he or she would seem completely real and independent. I could have a meaningful conversation with them, ask some questions, listen to their answers, ask for clarification, because I knew that in dreams, the character our brain creates seemed fully independent from us. And I could do that now because I had discovered this marvelous being awake in the dream state of awareness. Tonight, and indeed every night when I fell asleep, I knew I would be able to summon a dream character and ask for any guidance I needed. Well, how did that play out? Well, this is just an abbreviated account from my book, Benevolent Synchronicity and the Psychic Self, because I figured a lot of people still don't know what a lucid dream is. I'd never heard of the phenomenon when it first occurred to me. There was almost nothing written on it back in 77. In fact, when I contacted at that time the sleep lab at Carleton University, the lab technician I spoke to said, no, you can't be conscious in a dream because a dream is an unconscious process. But I was conscious. And I continued to explore the phenomenon, and I later even contributed to Conscious Mind, Sleeping Brain, which has become the seminal textbook on lucid dreaming, edited by Stephen LaBerge and Jane Gockenbach. Lucid dreaming is as exhilarating today as it was when I first started, but it wasn't the best medium for receiving inner guidance. I never lost my interest in seeking a reliable source of inner guidance, and I consider myself blessed that I finally found it in mindfulness pathfinding. Back to you, Rick.
Wow, that's a terrific story, Peter. You got me writing down notes about that book. I got to check that out. Frank, what do you have to share on your topic?
Yeah, great story, Peter. Well, I told you about the wedding. A few days after the wedding, I started to feel not well. I felt like having a flu, you know, the headache, coughing, some fever, painful joints, that kind of stuff. Other guests who were also at that wedding started to develop the same symptoms. And it turned out that the wedding was a super spreaded, super COVID event.
Oh my God.
More than half of the guests caught COVID. Although all guests were checked at the door in line of government regulations on having been fully vaccinated or either had a PCR test stating that they were free of COVID, it turned out to be of no value. I did a test at a local healthcare unit run by the government, and I got the results back quite quickly. You have COVID. And with a lot of directions guided me to remain in a what they call self-isolation. And they had to see and wait how my body would deal with these invaders. Meanwhile, I felt really miserable. Mm-hmm. But something else happened. I tried to connect with spirit as I usually do in meditation. In the beginning, there was too much distraction. The fever kicked me out of balance. It wasn't hardly possible. Yeah. I was shivering all over, just laying in my bed and sweating. But a day or two went past when the phone with spirit was finally answered. I asked what happened to me. What did I need to know? Okay, to summarize my conversation with spirit that took place over the next days, I got the following message I would like to share with you guys. Number one, it is a necessary reset for your body, for your body's metabolism. It's a cleanup of germs and much more. Second, to prepare my body for receiving higher energies and higher vibrations, which makes it possible to help people better in my next level of healing work. I have to be prepared. Well, I thought, not a very nice way. Spirit didn't answer. To create a more peaceful mind. And by doing so, dealing in a more relaxed way with a lot of negative reporting in society about COVID and other things. Becoming more balanced. A timeout. While laying in my bed, I came across a wonderful prayer attributed to St. Franciscus of Assisi. I read it and it struck me deeply. During one of the meditations, Spirit reminded me I was named after St. Franciscus of Assisi. My real name in my passport is Franciscus, and it's always fun to see people at the border trying to pronounce that. Just call me Frank. We both were silent. And then it said, share this prayer with the people you meet as a reminder that can make a huge difference in the world by changing their attitudes and beliefs. So here it is. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. When there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Besides the fact that COVID is a terrible disease, for me, in this context, it is also a master teacher. This prayer might be a pointer for that. Maybe also for you. Thank you very much. This is what I'd like to share with you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful, Frank. That was really, I'm glad you're feeling better. And, you know, if you have to take something from it, what a beautiful gift. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So here's what I've got. So I start doing this bathroom renovation, really bringing it down a couple notches from you guys. And at a very busy time, what I thought was only a small project. So like any other good small project that you just figure you're just going to go in there and knock it out. Me and Carol, we were just going to, you know, two-person crew, go in, demo, rebuild. So escalation. I get in there. I've got water stuff. I've got a leaky pipe. I've got all this, you know, like coloring on the foundation. So a little bit of, you know, so I go outside. I'm looking at the foundation, crack, pour some concrete, filling that in, looking up above. Oh, I think the water that's coming off that gutter going down the deck over here, go up there. Gutter needs to be replaced. New gutter, framing, find this other drain not functioning right, chopping up concrete. And at the same time, I'm down there doing some wiring. The lights start flickering on a Saturday after this big boom up the street. So I'm thinking, how can this all be happening at the same time? And I'm starting to feel like, you know, it kind of was getting in my head a little bit, then in my body, I was like feeling the stress from this stuff. So the electrical issue happened to be on my meter. So the electrical company comes late at night and they got like two giant trucks, red lights going, and they're looking in the trees and see if there's any raccoons there or whatever. Anyway, they determine that this meter pan and this whole box has to be replaced tomorrow morning. And they say, call your electrician. He has to come right away. And you got to shut the power off for a week and whatever. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's the middle, you know, starting to get cold here. So I've got all these, just from this small little project, all these other things escalated. So I'm feeling it. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what they call stress. And I'm usually good at handling this stuff, but because it kept piling on, it was like one thing and they got bigger. These issues were getting bigger. So I thought to myself, self, did I bring this on by opening this, you know, can of worms, Pandora's box? Everyone's telling me all these phrases for lots of things going wrong. And I started to think about stress resiliency and that phrase. How can I be better at handling this stuff? Because I'm usually stress-free pretty much. I don't let these things bother me. But somehow the piling up. So stress, especially in these little daily anxieties, can really get to us. And it can, like you said, Frank, when your immune system was down, you know, you didn't have the energy to tap into spirit. So I usually, when I put my head down at night, is when I really need these tools. In the day, I'm busy enough to kind of stay afloat. But once my head goes parallel, then all these thoughts keep coming. Oh, what if, when I put this back, what if I didn't, you know? So I start worrying, I start thinking about this stuff. So one simple tool that I discovered just recently, just because of this project, is I began thinking of specific people in my life right now. And I imagined them talking to me and gathering around me energetically. Oh. You two were two of those people. Uh-oh. I was like, what would Peter say right now? What would Frank say right now? And just began to hear you guys talking to me among other people. I basically surrounded myself with all the most caring, nourishing, uplifting people. And I just heard all of you talking to me. And, you know, whether you're listening or watching and you have one person in your life, or maybe this show is that soothing voice. And so sometimes when things get out of control, you can just surround yourself with not only the voices, but the feelings of the energy of people who love you and people who care about you. And it just went away like that. I thought, wow, I'm so blessed. I've got so many great people in my life. So these little projects and these little things will iron themselves out. And wouldn't you know it, only a few weeks later, all of it's behind me now. But I thought it was the end of the world at that time, and it really wasn't. And so that little tool helped me feel blessed and grateful again. Peter, back to you.
See, this is what I love about this show, when we sit down and we talk between us, because here I am talking about dreams, which we all have, and it's a sort of wonderful type of dreaming you can do. And then Frank talks about getting sick. It was with COVID, but but basically see how he handled it. And then we move into something very, very tied to everyday things, to ordinary concerns that we have. So not mundane at all, Rick, actually elevating what you had. So what I would say is that lucid dreaming is an elusive, if thoroughly enjoyable, pastime, but it's not the most effective way to seek the guidance that I wanted or the guidance that you need to do what you want. When you don't know what to do, do mindful pathfinding. You've already got the answers you seek. All you have to do is ask yourself, where is my most fulfilling path here? And you will get an answer. And if what Rick and Frank and I do here every week helps you in some small way on the road ahead, well, then we thank you for giving us the opportunity and the honor of being of service. Back to you, Rick.
Thank you, Peter. Great job. And thank you for the kind words. Frank, do you want to share your final thoughts?
Yes, I think listening to what we just discussed and just talked about, and it reminds me of that every situation in your life, you can look at it as something, oh my God, what's happening? And the car situations, of course, where you can feel like that. Yeah, at the moment, my son got very, very ill and had to admit it with a high speed to emergency care when he was 4 years old. Well, that's an oh my God situation for most parents. So that struck me really, really deep. But at the same time, maybe we're going to discuss that in a later episode, but at the same time, these events have so much spiritual value, so much to show and to offer you, not so much to learn, because learning, oh, I have to unlearn things. No, it's always something like, but no, it has an offer, it has a gift in it. And even COVID, and let's be clear about it, it's no fun to have COVID, and please seek professional help for that also, yeah? But at the meantime, for me, it is also a master teacher. So in every event, there is a momentum of reflection, of teaching in it. And I feel myself very fortunate that I have somehow, some way made, that created a kind of telephone line with my spirit. And it doesn't work always, my dear friends, to be honest, yes, but this time it worked quite well. I had an open mind and open heart for that. So, yeah, please be kind to yourself and be open. That's what I would like to say. And what I always say is what you think about and think about, you bring about. Rick, back to you.
Good job, Frank. Thank you. So my final thoughts on this, keep those special people close. Thank them. Tell them often how important they are, and say, I love you. Thank you for joining us today for the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, click on subscribe. If you love us, make a 30-second selfie video right now to tell us why. Don't be shy. We look forward to getting together with you soon again next week. Until then, savor your day today. See you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.